You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. How do you feel about mice? They freak me out, frankly. And if you've had the kind of experience where they run through your living room or maybe even across your kitchen countertop, you probably don't like them either, right? But Dr. Elizabeth Becker's research into mouse behavior might change your opinion. Her investigations into how mice parent their young offer insights into the nurture-nature debate. In our regular segment, So What Do You Do?, where lay people chat with scientists about their work, Anthony Stipa, an account manager with Slice Communications, sat down with Becker and asked her,
So what do you do?
I'm a behavioral neuroendocrinologist at St. Joseph's University.
Could you break it down a little bit? Like, what kind of science is behind that?
Sure. I, as a behavioral neuroendocrinologist, am interested in neural and hormonal mechanisms underlying social behavior. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? What is going on in the brain and what's going on in the blood? How are hormones helping to mediate our social interactions?
Now, when did you become so enthralled with mice?
I've worked with other species before, but these mice I'm madly in love with. I work with the California mouse, and they're a very unique species. And they're unique because they're monogamous and biparental, meaning that dads are engaging in parenting as much as moms are. Among mammals, biparental species are actually very rare. Humans are an obvious exception, and it allows me to study paternal behavior, whereas so many other labs can't touch it.
Where does this translate with humans?
I'm interested in how parents shape parental behavior in their offspring. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to the 1970s and the 1980s, and I'm thinking about the discovery of fetal alcohol syndrome, we understood don't do drugs, don't drink when you're pregnant because you can affect your fetus. But what's a little bit more challenging to understand and what I focus on is that care that's provided by a parent can act as a similarly strong stimulus for our own brain and behavior development. So what we show is that dads in particular, in their care for their offspring, are driving long-term changes in their brains and consequently shaping how they behave as parents.
What else makes the California mouse unique? Is it that they like the beach, or is there other traits of them that they enjoy?
What we see in the California mouse is if sons are given high levels of care, and care we measure in retrieval behavior, so that's picking up the pup by its scruff, this is what the dad is doing, and carrying it back to the nest. Now, when you think about that as a behavior in the wild, that's critically important to remove them from dangers outside of the nest. Mm-hmm. The more that that's done, we see that those offspring, those male offspring, as adults, have high levels of arginine vasopressin expression in the brain. Now, what is arginine vasopressin? This is a neuropeptide that's linked to different social behaviors, paternal behavior and aggressive behavior.
You said?
Yes. Something that's expressed in the brain, like dopamine, like a neurosteroid, and also in the consequence of higher paternal care. Mm-hmm. So I looked at testosterone early in development to see if that might be that missing link. And what I found was that when a father retrieves his son, he gets a quick surge in testosterone. And this happens repeatedly, we assume, after each retrieval. Mm-hmm. Testosterone is good because it's priming this change in the brain. And that change in the brain is leading to differences in behavior. Species that don't care for their offspring, so those dads that provide zero care, have very low levels of arginine vasopressin expression. So the behavior of retrieving itself, influencing testosterone, is really mediating their ability to be good dads later in life.
Okay, good answer.
When we think about the results that we're getting from these research studies, people mm-hmm. think that those are not generalizable to any population outside of the mice, mm-hmm. meaning that's great,
but it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. Exactly. But what we see from studies in humans is actually the same pattern. Mm-hmm. And we know this very sadly from studies of abuse, that children who are abused go on to abuse their own offspring at much higher rates than people who are not abused. We also see among suicide victims that those kids that were abused have very similar brain changes that we see in the mice and in the rats. Mm. So we do get great insights from these research animals into what might be going on in humans, although certainly our social interactions are more complex. So I think it's really critical to understand the consequences of parental contribution to offspring brain and behavior. You can think about this in animals or in humans, really, as offspring health. And if we understand those consequences, we can provide support and perhaps prevention for these negative experiences that offspring are having.
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you. You're so good. I can't get over it.
No, I'm some of this over my head, so I'm trying to just comprehend it.
I think your questions are going to help our listeners.
Thank you.